Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to The Naturalist Capitalist for episode 120. Two real quick things before we get going. I know I've mentioned this before, but you guys have to get this book by Scott Horton. He sent me a free signed copy, so thank you, Scott. But you got to read that book. It's amazing. I'm finally getting some time to get through it. And it's stuff that you'll probably mostly already know, but it just lays it out in a form that really helps you to understand what's going on. So definitely read that. The other thing is, as you guys know, I platform Ryan Dawson on here quite often. I'm pretty good friends with him. He has been removed from Twitter and he was removed from Facebook like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Obviously he's off YouTube. And it's not for saying things that are false. They don't really censor you for that type of stuff. I don't know if you've noticed that, but, please go follow him at ancreport.com. That's where you can find Ryan, and he will continue to have a platform on this show as long as I'm allowed up. I'm also going to be branching out to some other platforms. I will be keeping the YouTube channel just for the reach, but I'm going to be setting up on PeerTube, on Odyssey, on Rockfin. I don't know. I'll probably be doing several, but I'll be working on setting up on PeerTube after I'm done with this video. But anyways, we got a good show today. You guys have seen him on the show a few times before. I've been on his show a few times. David Spurria of the Live Free or Die channel at the moment. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, I'm still here. I got two strikes. I'm not in Ryan's boat yet, just to show you that. Yeah, I ordered that, and it's a powerful book, as you said at the beginning.
Yeah, really. I got a question for you, just because we were both Tulsi supporters. And for me, it was mostly a pragmatic decision. It was like, okay, she's just way better than all the other options. But after reading this and hanging out with Scott Horton and Ryan Dawson and Dave Smith and just like being in that, I wouldn't even call that the bubble. I'd call that the real world and everything else is the bubble. But after just being immersed in that, I don't know, like I still like Tulsi, but like she's not as good as she seemed a year ago just because of what we were comparing her to. I was wondering what you think about that. But
it's kind of like when you start taking a drug, you know, and the drug it's not doing what it's supposed to do anymore. And you get a hit of something that's like a little more authentic and you're like, whoa, man. So you start reading like Scott Horton, you start watching Dave Smith, you start doing some of these other things and you think to yourself, okay, Tulsi Gabbard, all right, let's give her a little bit of credit for at least getting it. It's like getting it out there on the scoreboard. You know what I mean? Like putting it out there. It's like, yeah, there is another way. We don't have to do this stuff. But toward the end of it, I would say things like, you know, it's not just about regime change war. You know what I mean? I would say it's our whole, like Dave Smith said this in a recent episode where he talked about China and how we have this like knee-jerk reaction, like we've got to do something. What are we going to do against China? And he said that. He said like, okay, you lose Los Angeles in the process. You lose, you know, Hong Kong. And then we go back and forth. And at the end of it, that's not about regime change, right? That's about just, you know, I get it. They're bad. And he makes the point that they're bad. But Tulsi Gabbard, she made a lot of those same points that these people are bad. And maybe we do something. If you recall, she was always kind of like, we weren't sure when she would be a hawk. You know, we knew that she was, you know, against terrorism. Right. And she said, you know, I'm a hawk on terror, but I'm a dove when it comes to regime change war.
Right.
And then that line gets kind of blurred, right, Reed? Cause it's everywhere. I mean, it's very complicated in Syria. People just think it's, you know, hey, we're just going there to help these rebels out to do their, they've got our weapons and then they're fighting against other people that have our weapons. So it's like, okay, who do you, and this is the whole point about maybe we shouldn't be that involved in any of this stuff. And obviously you've got, you know, Tulsi served in a war that is still going on. So you would think, okay, Tulsi, you know, I know we're the terrorists. I mean, supposedly, right? George W. Bush said mission accomplished a long time ago. So I would use that and say, you know what? George W. Bush won the war. so let's just bring just to be a goof and say,
yeah,
and just bring the troops home, because W said he had the he had, I don't know if you remember the banner, it said mission accomplished. So we're done. We don't have to do anything else. I don't understand. But you're right. You know, the whole I've had a if you've noticed, I haven't done any Tulsi content in a long time. I used to do it just to get a few views, because apparently that's all the folks, you know, cared about was what Tulsi was wearing, what she was eating. And I'm not trying to bash on Tulsi. Tulsi, I think, is a very good politician. Mm-hmm. I think she found a lane, but I don't know if she knew about all the potholes in that lane, if you know what I mean. So, again, when you take a little bit of Scott Horton, it's like, oh man, this is strong, you know, and then you have to reevaluate. And that's what life is about. And you know me, I've been like, yeah, you know, but with Scott Horton and others in who I consider to be more of the Mises caucus group of folks, these guys take this stuff really seriously, and they're going to call you out on the left. They're going to call you out on the right. They'll empathize with some positions here and there. Obviously, you would think, you know, like Donald Trump might have had some good instincts, but compared to what, though? You know, yeah. I mean, and then we have to consider, though, that one of my theories is that the deep, you would call it the deep state, or whatever you want to call it, the you know, all of these different agencies that are really running the show when it comes to our policies, you know, war policies and so forth. Those agencies, I think, I don't know how you penetrate those agencies unless you eliminate those agencies, unless you fire, I mean, hundreds of bureaucrats and send them packing and reorganize the government. Obviously, we talk about decentralization, but I'm just talking about annihilation, not decentralization. You have to, because, you know, Donald Trump getting up there saying, you know, it's not a good idea. Maybe we should try to be friends with Russia. Maybe we should negotiate with China and so forth. Those are fine. Those are good things. But he's not really calling the shots. He's making speeches that he thinks he can get away with without them coming for him. Guess what happened last year? They came for him. All right. So the libertarians, anybody who wants to, I think, diffuse this bomb of power in D.C. and all over the country, for that matter, needs to start thinking in kind of more broad terms that it's, you know, I put down as a topic, does it matter who the president is? I mean, right. Does the president even have any power? And it's a great argument, by the way, to bring a power back locally to the states and to the people that can, you know, supervise their own localities. It makes no sense that there's this giant thing in DC and we just look at it and we go, you've got a rogue FBI, you've got a rogue CIA, you've got all these agencies. They don't investigate the stuff that needs to be investigated. Now they're weaponized to be used against, you know, one party gets in there, and then all of a sudden, you know, that agency is all of a sudden going up against the person who's in office, but they're not investigating the crimes on the other side, because you just appoint cronies, people that are going to do your bidding. So anyway.
Yeah. I think what it all comes down to, and this is where Trump, Tulsi, and I would say the Libertarian Party in the past has messed up, that there's no philosophy behind what you're selling. Like, I love Tulsi, but what was her philosophy? Doing what's right for the American people. What does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything. You know, that's completely subjective. Yeah. Where the Libertarian Party, you are seeing a reawakening of a principled arm of it that wants to bring the philosophy back, the non-aggression principle, self-ownership, property ownership. Like, I never heard Gary Johnson talk about that, ever. You know, like, it was, oh, the Republicans are idiots and the Democrats are, you know, crazy and we're the normal people. And it's like, okay, so what?
Well, yeah, you were looking for some substance on the bone. And, you know, you and I have talked about platitudes before. And, you know, like, was it Mayor Pete and the King of Platitudes and the Democratic primary? But unfortunately, and again, this goes off on another sort of tributary, is you've got a population right now that is really easily led and manipulated down these roads that go nowhere. Yeah. It's like, what is, you ask somebody, so what does that mean, what Mayor Pete said? What does that mean? Well, I don't know, but it sounded great. He cares about me. And right. this, again, and both parties do it. I think the left does it more because they're always doing the emotional appeal. The right has their own version of it, and they do a little tap dance around what the left does and says that they're not going to do it as bad. So people go, okay, they're better. And there might be, I believe there's some truth to that. But then there are, it's a smaller microcosm of those people that are actually serious, you know, like the Thomas Massies and, you know, the people, as much as I, you might not like Matt Gaetz, but he's totally serious about what he wants to do. And he's mm-hmm. trying to just take, hey, you don't need Donald Trump. You can have me. And so a lot of people are going to gravitate toward that full strength. But what happens when he gets down the road? He's already being targeted. His aide or whatever was already had to plead guilty and so forth. So they see any kind of speed bump in their full steam ahead. Everybody thinks uniparty agenda. And what do? They find a way to defuse it. That's why I keep going back to, if you could get, you know, you could take the mantle of power away in DC and destroy it. That's what you would do. I mean, what is that libertarian slogan that we want to take over the world or something so you can
leave people alone? Yeah,
people
take,
alone.
Take over the world and leave everyone alone. So
that's what I mean. Me and you could march to DC and say, okay, all right, shut it down. It's like a machine that's gone haywire, and you say, I got to shut this down to save the world. And then we just eliminate this machine because we don't need it. And that's really what people have to, you know, come to grips with.
Yeah, I think that there are still some who really piss me off who they think it's about who is sitting in the Oval Office, you know, because you remember a year ago, you and I were having conversations on this channel about inflation, you know, at our four round table discussions with Mike and Charles. We're talking about the stimulus bills that had passed and how disastrous it was going to be. And you know, and everyone was like, well, I don't see inflation yet. And we were like, oh, wait, just wait. You're going to start seeing it. And now we're starting to see it. And everyone thinks it has to do with Biden being in there. And it's like, okay, he's certainly contributing to it. He's certainly making it worse. He's definitely not doing anything good. But it's the overall system. It's not like who is in there. And then there are so many people who are like, oh, if we only, you know, could have gotten Tulsi in there. And it's like, well, things would probably be a little bit better. But one person getting into the Oval Office is not going to be able to just dismantle everything. I mean, Trump sort of like touched it around the edges, and they hated him. Like they tried to impeach him twice, and they tried to frame him as a traitor, you know, for just like touching things around the edges. And so if you had someone who went hard in the paint against them, they would get rid of you, I think.
That's what I'm worried about. And that's what we have to all kind of consider, that say you get this great liberty, say Dave Smith runs for president, right? I'll just throw it out there because it's just a cool concept. Mm-hmm. And he would get destroyed, number one, because he's a comedian and he said all this crazy crap while he's been a comedian during his stand-up. They would misconstrue, they would take things that aren't seriously. They would have so much material. And at that point, it would be up to Dave and everybody who supports Dave to say, hey, this is BS. I mean, this isn't what's really important, but I just don't know today and read in today's culture, media culture, that this is something that's easily, you know, like you can get a workaround. Like you're on this channel right now. I'm on this channel. We have your platform's growing, mine's kind of not. And it's because I kind of bailed on Tulsi. The point is you have to get to like Tim Pool level. You have to get to like somebody who gets up there and is an influencer who might be able to reach a few people. But, you know, it's really hard. This is an uphill battle. What I like about sort of the new, we'll call it the new libertarian philosophy, or it's actually the return to the old principles, basically, is that it's a good philosophy. Like you can sit there and you can have a conversation with somebody and say, oh, really, you think debt's a good thing? And this is where Trump failed, because Trump was like playing a game, and he was playing a game with currency and trying to say, okay, well, if the Democrats propose this bill, I can propose. Remember the $2,000 checks? I can do a bigger one. And then Pelosi was like freaking out because she was thinking, he's a Republican. What's going on with that? So a libertarian comes along and says, no stimulus, zero. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to destroy your currency. And people go, but I need a check. You also need a job. And then that goes to work ethic. And I was telling my friend Charles, your friend Charles, I want to say I was right about the UBI thing, but I wrestled with that. And I said, it's going to encourage people to stay home. And guess what's happened, Reed, the last few months, because the government has this open-ended unemployment till September in most states. And they're trying to pull back now because a weird thing's happening. All these jobs are available, but the unemployment rate either remains unchanged or it's going up. And they're like, I think even Biden said the other day, hey, you know, if you find a good job, you should take it. Really, Joe? Really? Like I say to people, people aren't stupid, Reed. If someone says, Dave, just sit there. I'm going to send you $600. Don't do anything. Don't go out looking for a job. And as soon as you go out looking for a job and the job is going to suck, probably it's going to be probably a menial job, something maybe you don't want to do. And they're going to pay, you know, they're not going to pay it as much as what the government's sending you. Well, you're going to stay home. You're not stupid, you know. And so this is, like I told Charles, I said, it's not that I don't want people to have money. I mean, people should work and earn money. In some cases, maybe people, if they're on disability and they can't work, we can maybe work something out with those folks. I'm not totally against anything for anybody. But the point is, it's encouraging this culture, which seems to be in this almost shutdown mode from last year. It was like that was a dress rehearsal for what could be, I hate to say this, these two words together, the new normal.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's not really a conspiracy. CNN put a headline out about a month and a half ago saying that the COVID lockdowns were a good dry run for measures against climate change.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's CNN saying that.
Well, I don't know how, you know, Veritas did a video where they talked to the guy from, you know, they sent, I love when they do this undercover stuff. And it's like the guy goes on like some dating app and he gets a date for the night. He's really excited. He's got this hot looking girl who's actually an undercover reporter. So I love this. This is great. And they're just talking. They're asking questions. And he's like, well, you know, what I do is pretty much just, I don't know if he used the word propaganda, but he said something very similar. And then he said the next big thing is going to be climate change. Because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And if it fear sells, he said the two words, fear sells. So this is an agenda. And when it comes to the media, they don't really care about us. What they care about is keeping those ratings. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's like tabloid TV. It just runs. It's like Maury Povich graduated and infiltrated CNN, and this is their philosophy moving forward. And it's sad, but this is why you need to get off the grid and watch Reed Coverdale and Charles Anderson and some of these people that are out here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is kind of terrifying. The other thing is, it's if you don't buy 110% into whatever narrative they're selling, you're a denier. So, and that's what they did this with the war on terror too. I mean, back 20 years ago, like, sure, terrorists flew planes into the World Trade Center. Yeah, the terrorists are out there. That's bad. I don't think that means we should go into Afghanistan and into Iraq and start this all-out war on terrorism. I think it's going to make it worse. So, you know, like, I believe the planet is getting warmer, and I think that we contribute to it. But if I don't think the world's going to end in 10 years unless we have a Green New Deal, I'm a climate change denier. You know, that's how they get you.
Right. Well, you know, and then going back to 2004 or whatever, nobody in the media was asking the question other than, no, here's what they were doing, because Bush put out all this, they hate us because of our freedom. Remember that? Mm-hmm. They hate us because we're free. And of course, all the right wingers love that. And even the Democrats were like, yeah, we're free. And that's why they hate us. And that's the narrative. And it just, that's a brilliant narrative. That's a Joseph Goebbels move right there. So the real question is not why do they hate us? Why did they do this? Would have been the more appropriate question. What motivated these guys to get in planes and kamikaze into buildings? Nobody asked that question. Now, there were a few commentators, the underground type people, the people that thought the whole thing was, you know, 9/11 was an inside job and so forth. And at first when I heard that, I was like, come on, seriously? But as time has gone on and knowing our foreign policy, I'm not saying we, you know, but then again, when you look at where the money came from, where the backing came from, where they, you know, they're
national. Tulsi was the bravest one to bring up the 9/11 report and the fact that Saudi Arabia might have had something to do with it. She wouldn't touch the possible Israeli involvement, but she was actually going after the Saudi Arabian involvement, which is like, you know, that was very brave. Well, but yeah, everyone go watch Ryan Dawson if you want to know more about 9/11. That'll blow your mind. So
go find Ryan on his new platform, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, and this is it. When you just go and this, we're a living, we're actually like doing this and we're an actual example of what is happening in the media that, hey, if you talk out of line, whether it's about COVID, that's another one where it's like, really?
Yeah, that's another one where if you didn't buy 110% of the narrative, then you were a denier. And it's like, well, no, I know there's a disease and I know people have died from it. But if I don't think it's the bubonic plague, then I'm a science denier.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get you in too much trouble in this video, so I'm going to steer away. But, you know, I'll just say this. In order to have, because this probably won't get anybody in trouble, in order to have emergency authorization use of what they're using now on people, there has to be no other alternative available. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all I'm gonna say, and I'll let people kind of
figure out what that means. So
you can find, you can digest, you can go to some other sites that focus on this, and that. But in order
I'll build on that a little with using safe language. But if they can't entice you into something because they haven't made the situation scary enough, then they're gonna try to pass legislation so that you have to capitulate. But then they screwed up with that too, so. Right. This is actually a big white pill. Like, they just, with what you're talking about, they pushed it way too hard, way too fast. And everyone was like, whoa, hold on. This doesn't make sense. You know, it was kind of amazing, but
we'll just say development on a product like this is typically like 10 to 12 years. That's all I'm going to say. And you know who I blame for this? I do blame Donald Trump. This was even last year when I was more on the, like, hanging on to one boxcar of the Trump train about to fall off and thinking it's better than the other train, you know, because that's all you have these days. You got two crappy trains. Which one do you go on, you know? Yeah. And so I was thinking, why? And this guy used to be very anti-vax in his younger days. So it's not that let me just say this. I'm not necessarily anti-vax. I'm just saying you kind of look at all the information. And then, you know, do you want to push this so hard? That's all I'm saying.
Well, did you see they changed the Webster's Dictionary definition of anti-vax? Did you see that? Or
conspiracy theory. I heard about it. I didn't read the new definition.
Yeah, so the new definition includes people who don't want mandatory government vaccinations. That's an anti-vaxxer now. So you are. I'm also an anti-vaxxer, I guess, under that new definition. So.
Wow. Folks, tyranny, if you think tyranny isn't at your doorstep, if you think tyranny, like you use the word, people, I go, it's tyranny. And they go, that's kind of strong. I go, no, it's not. It's not, it's here. It's here. If the last 15 months between a lot of the different, not just the COVID stuff, but there've been a lot of other issues that show me that tyranny is here and it's entrenched. And I'm not sure. I mean, like I say, I'm not sure what we do about it. I mean, I'm so happy this movement's here because it gives me, you know, that's why I can't go back to being the political refugee. It's giving me a home for the first time. I feel like I can now, you know, it's not perfect because no movement is perfect. You know, I may disagree on tactics or certain language and so forth. But I do agree. And, you know, I've always wanted to be outside the duopoly. But not for the sake of it. I tried live with the Green Party so hard. I'm going to try to make this work. And then I'm thinking, it's authoritarianism. It's still authoritarianism. It's just a different it has a nice name or it has a different name, and there are different people telling you that they're better and they'll do it the right way. It's that old adage that we just haven't tried this enough. We haven't spent enough money. If we spend the money, it'll work, Reed. And then you'll be in a socialist utopia. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. It'll be like Sweden, which, by the way, isn't a socialist utopia, just for the record. But they'll cite places that supposedly have governments. And by the way, not every government has – it's not like one philosophy or one size fits all. What they do in Sweden works for Sweden, hopefully, and that might not work here in the United States. This is what the founders wanted. They wanted almost like this great experiment where we try, we fail, we learn, we try again. And these days, we're not trying anything new. We're just doubling down on what sucks.
We're building back better, Dave. I don't know if that is, but yeah. Well,
that's good. That was good.
you just put a video out that I started watching, but then I got a phone call. So and you just put it out. It came out like, I don't know, 40 minutes ago or something, but it was titled "The Politically Homeless Have to Come Home." Yes. You were just talking about that a little bit, but do you want to expand on that at all? Or
yeah, thanks for watching the video. That got my video over like 5 views, so I appreciate that. No, I'm bad these days. I have another channel, by the way, folks. I'm going to plug it here because it is my it's called The Real Music Observer. Have over 40,000 subscribers. Talk about music, old fogey stuff that I listen to, and issues that are related to that. The only reason I threw it in there is because that channel is growing, and you know, that's how I pay some bills. So anyway, the video I put out, I'm thinking what I was thinking, like I watch all these different channels. I don't know if you still watch some of the more progressive ones. I was watching Jimmy Dore yelling about Aaron Mate, right? And how the Young Turks
framed him or whatever.
Yeah. The Young Turks are going after, because and I knew the Young Turks were just a neoliberal outfit, but all those progressives are kind of like, oh, they could be good, but they're not good. And they say a couple of things that I like. And then, of course, I don't like their philosophy now at all. I've kind of pulled away from it. But I admire Jimmy Dore for being what I would consider an honest, real progressive type. You know, and we agree on some stuff. We definitely, there's some crossover there. I think when we get to the economic stuff, we're going to have a train wreck, but we can agree on the surveillance state. We can agree on truth. We both, all of us kind of agreed that the whole Russia hoax was ridiculous, and Jimmy Dore was a champion of that. So you've got those progressives out there who you can have a dialogue with on, it's like when you did your video with Kim Iverson, it was fascinating, it's a good video. And there are a lot of things that we can come to grips on. It's almost like the progressives and some conservatives and definitely the people that are in the middle are dying for an alternative. They're just like, please give us something that isn't those two things over and over again. And what we need to be able to do, though, is pull back and look at the important issues and say, okay, I'm in this tribe. I talk like I'm in this tribe. I act, I wear the t-shirt. I'm in the tribe. But you've got to think to yourself, at some point, when I say you've got to come home, it means you've got to come home to something that has a chance, that actually has a disrupting chance to overturn the two-party nonsense that we've been stuck with. Now, there are other ways, you know, me and Charles Anderson have talked about this, where you can invade the Democrats, you can invade the Republicans, you can be Thomas Massey, you can be a Rand Paul type, and that might work a little bit. But I think the corrupting force of being in those organizations and having to answer to Senate leader Mitch McConnell or House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, holy crap. I mean, and it's like your head's going to explode because those two people are a couple of the worst politicians ever in my lifetime. Yeah. So how do you get around that? Well, you've got a new, you got to get your Mises caucus on, you know, you got to get something that's going to be a real threat to them. And they're going to be like, uh-oh, they're on to us. They really, they're so mad at us at this point that they've decided to all go rogue. And by the way, working from the bottom up, we've talked about this on numerous occasions. I mean, yeah, run a presidential candidate and hope for the best, right? And put them out there. And maybe that presidential candidate has an effect down ballot. And But you've got to start at dog catcher, town council, state rep is a great place to be right now with all the voting irregularities. We'll call it that. I don't know what to say. If you want a secure election system, guess what? You've got to start at the state level. You've got to start at the town level. Precinct captain. Okay, that's a big one right now. If you can become a precinct captain in your town as a libertarian or even as non-affiliated, if you don't want to take the plunge, it'd be huge. Because then they're even like, hey, he's not on our side. He's not going to do what we want him to do. And then that begins a snowball where people, it's kind of like when they take the mask off and they go, hey, I can breathe. I can do this. I don't have, you know, it's like the courage. You have to get the will and the political courage. And just, it's your kids. If you don't like what's going on at the school you're sending your kids to, public school, which I think most public schools at this point are an embarrassment. And I mean, if you get rid of the Department of Education, at least bring the education back locally. But I'm thinking all private schools, if you're going to get a little kickback like we do here in Florida, where you can take that money and it's a cool program, and you want to put your kid in a private school, at a school of your choice, and they're going to actually educate your kid and not lock it down and not keep the kids home for 8-9 months. And that homeschooling too, hello, if you can homeschool, if you're married and you got a spouse that wants to homeschool, or even pay a tutor, for crying out loud. Because guess what? It might be more cost effective. They're spending $12,000 per kid and they're getting nothing. Kids don't know our history. They don't know anything about civics. They don't have any grasp of what the Constitution even vaguely means or says. So anyway, I'm running out of oxygen here. But the point, there's a lot that can be said on these topics. It is about decentralization, though, and bringing, you know, everything back to where you can manage it and where you can oversee it. Because how can I oversee what's going on up in D.C.? D.C., right now, they're trying to make Washington, D.C. into a state. Mm-hmm. Do you know that D.C. is like a territory of its own? It's in the Constitution. That's unconstitutional, and they're trying to do it. And I tell you what, the day that happens, USA is toast. It's done.
The only time we care about something being unconstitutional is if it's some phone call or something that we can impeach someone over. Those are the only real constitutional violations we care about.
It was a perfect phone call.
Oh my God. Yeah. But no, I agree. You know, what's kind of crazy to me, you've probably heard that quote. I forget what it's from, but it's small minds think of people, average minds think of events, and then great minds think of ideas. I think that's how it goes, or philosophy or whatever. I've never seen that so true until I started getting politically active, because so many people are still talking about individuals. So whether it's Trump or Bernie or Tulsi or whatever, and then events are the next thing. It's about January 6th or the election or whatever. It's like, who cares? Like, you know, let's talk about, like, what's wrong with everything that's happening? You know, like, why? That's why I focus a lot on philosophy and like what directs your life. Like, do you believe that you have the right to own your body and your property? And do you believe you don't have the right to infringe on other people's bodies and property? You know, once you get people to start thinking that way, then their actions will be out of their philosophy, because we seem so caught up on trying to convince someone that, you know, the minimum wage is a bad idea, or that Social Security is bad. And it's like, okay, cool. If you can bring them over on that issue, I'm not going to stop you. Yeah. But for instance, if you're trying to convince people that the lockdowns are a bad idea, and you finally, after spending hours and hours and hours of trying to explain to them why the lockdowns are bad, they finally like, okay, I'm against the lockdowns, and then the lockdowns go away, unless you've changed the way they're thinking, like, unless you've convinced them the lockdowns are bad because the government is using illusory power to tell you that you can't leave your house, that you don't have the right to assemble, that you don't have the right to work. Unless you can convince them that the concept is bad instead of just the policy, like, you don't win anything, because then the next policy comes along and you've got to start from scratch again. You're like, okay, this policy is bad because it's not going to be, I mean, if your only argument is the lockdowns are bad because it's not going to be economically profitable for the average person, if that's your only argument, instead of saying like, hey, the government is locking you in your house with imaginary powers that even with the document that supposedly decides what they're allowed to do, does not give them the power to do. Unless you can convince them of that, like, I don't really see what the point is. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do see what you're saying. And it frightened the hell out of me last year. And I mentioned this earlier, the level of compliance and the lack of intellectual curiosity and the willingness. I mean, again, you go into places where I live and my state's been pretty good, but their businesses have become little governments and setting policy that the government has not endorsed, which is crazy. And the government now basically is saying, well, we're not going to do this to you, but Amazon.com might do it to you, or Lowe's might do it to you. Or, and I'm thinking, whoa. I didn't elect Lowe's to anything. Lowe's is, I did not put check the ballot off for Lowe's. So I'm thinking to myself, and people aren't like furious in the streets, like pushing back saying, no. I mean, I see it at the school board level, because what they did to kids last year is, I think it's child abuse in some cases. I will use that. I don't care that I will use that phrase. But I don't see other adults walking around and thinking to themselves, you know, this isn't, there's something about, even just like, you know, how you get that feeling about something like, this just doesn't feel right. I mean, is there a rule that says I have to do this? No. This was when you know, the two words I hate the most, Reed, from last year, a couple words I put in my top 10 hated combos, health officials. Really? Mm. First of all, what's an official? Like, there are baseball officials, right? Or that officiate baseball games. I mean, they have power over the game, maybe, because there are rules of that game. But health officials legally do not have any say in where Dave goes, where Dave dines, where Dave wants to drive. Okay, they have no say over that. So I guess my big area of concern is that, what's going on with my fellow human beings? Mm-hmm. I mean, is this just generational rot where they've been sort of lulled into, government's okay, government's your friend, government's good, government, you know, I hear this a lot. You know what the great response from the older folks who are scared, who've been scared through this whole thing is, why would they do this, Reed?
Oh, yeah.
Why would they say this then? That's the answer I get all the time.
Open the history book.
Yeah, 1940 something, you know, I mean, but just not to go down that road, but it's, there's plenty of other tyranny, not just that. The point is that it does seem that people have been lulled over time into thinking, okay, well, like you talked about Social Security. Well, I'm going to have security at the end of my life. Thank God for Social Security. Like, you couldn't have put that money away yourself, right? You couldn't have put it somewhere that would have earned you money, that would have earned you back in the days when we had some level of banking and interest rates. But that's, again, another topic. Maybe, you know, the government bonds and so forth that are worthless. All these things that used to have worth, people are now still kind of like coddling and embracing and thinking, we've always done it this way, and so we're going to continue to do it this way. And they, again, people are resistant to change. People don't seem to want to do their own research. They want to be told what to think. And that, you know, not to keep using the Orwellian, but Orwell was a genius to come up with this in a sense, because he foresaw all of this ahead of time, and all of it plus more, I think, is starting to come true. And so it's kind of like, wake up, you know. But what do you do? Like my wife, she's going to freak out, because one day I'm just going to grab somebody and go, what are you doing? Do you understand that you don't have to do this anymore? Do you want to be a free being? Do you want to be a free citizen? And I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're transgender, you're whatever. Freedom. You know, I feel like Braveheart should be playing right now, but it's just, I don't want to use the word, I don't want to knock on disabled people here, but it's the reword. It's that word. It's like there's a mental blockage happening.
What he wants to say is it's fucking retarded. That's what he wants to say.
Thank you. Thank you. My translator has come through. That's the Dave to read translation of what I was saying. I don't have anything else to add other than the fact that I'm worried about my fellow citizens. I honest to God mean it. I'm not saying this gratuitously. I look around and when this happened about 6 months later, I'm like, it's the freaking zombie apocalypse. And then it becomes like, well, we don't care. We like it. I did a video, I think, called People Like Lockdowns. People like this. And I'm thinking, oh, because they can play Fortnite and they can hang out and they can Netflix all day long. You know, hey, I binge watched, you know, an entire series on, wow, Reed Coverdale just drove a freaking truck across the country. And you've watched, you know, binge watched the entire, I don't even do that crap, and I don't have to really go anywhere. Yeah. But just read a book, you know, get outside, get some fresh air. I mean, at the very least, but I don't know. I don't know what happened, man. I don't know what happened.
Well, I think it ties back into philosophy, and the biggest thing you were talking about, Orwell, the biggest danger that I've seen is double speak. That's the Orwellian term. So, you know, things mean something plus sometimes, good, and then they don't mean things other times. It's impossible to have a debate anymore. Like terms are inconsistent. They don't mean anything anymore. There's no objectivity to truth at all. People are like, well, to me, this means this, and to me, and it's like, I don't care what it means to you, you know, like that's where we've lost. And I think a lot of people backpedal, like they don't want to use the proper terms anymore, because sometimes you literally get called a bigot for using the proper terms. And I think we've got to double down and be like, no, this is what this means. This is what this word means. You know, this is what it's always meant. And then if they start changing them in the dictionary, you know, we got to resist that too, because if they take your words away,
yeah,
you can't change people's minds, because words are the number one influence on the way people think.
Right. No, that's super well said. I mean, words mean things, or they used to mean things. And now what happens is they get twisted. Or as you mentioned, there's somebody comes back with, well, that's not my truth. That's another one of my favorite ones. And it becomes this battle of, you know, like,
you know what is the universal truth is inflation. You know, like you might have your own subjective truth, but once we have inflation, hey, it suddenly becomes objective pretty quickly. So,
yeah. And again, you've got to veer off on that road. The inflation itself, I mean, are you denying inflation? Are you denying for the people that like Trump, for instance? The gas prices did go up like a buck. Okay. And I'm not saying that's all because of Biden, but it did kind of happen coinciding with his existence. And these people who are all like, I didn't like the guy with the mean tweets, and so I voted for Biden. And I'm like, okay, so your gas prices are a buck more. In some cases, it's even higher than that. Well, he didn't do that. Really? The president gets the blame or the credit when something happens under his watch. And he canceled a pipeline, number one, and another one was hacked while he was president. So, you know, but you say that to people and they go, it goes up every year. They do new formulations. And so they do. You're right. But it doesn't go up that much. And then it goes back down. This is different. And then they still won't listen to you. So you say, okay, and this isn't an argument for Trump. I'm just saying this is an argument for like what actually happened, and telling people black and white language and saying, okay, I'd rather have Trump on energy than Biden on energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a libertarian on energy, because a libertarian would probably freaking drill baby drill in every freaking state, as long as it's not going to, you know, do too much to harm the environment. I'm sure.
Well, we'd be pushing for nuclear energy, which that's, you know, phase out fossil fuels. Like, I mean, all this push for solar panels and wind turbines
doesn't work.
It almost is enabling fossil fuels to outlive their market viability. True. Because if we had been able to invest in nuclear and there wasn't this fear-mongering tactic against it, just like there has been with the war on drugs and everything else, you know, the lobbyists get in there and terrify all of us with these alternatives, then, you know, maybe we would be much further down the road than we are now. But now we're still here, like fighting over whether we should be banning fracking while we're still burning coal. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, and we traded the Canadian pipeline for the Saudi Arabian pipeline. Not that it's a literal pipeline, but that's what we just did. And it's like, oh, we got to make the Saudis happy again. You know,
watching the news, the Canadians are becoming like as authoritarian as the Saudis.
You got me on. See, this is crazy because you turn left, you turn right. That's why if we do solve the problems within, you know, the lower 48 in Alaska and so forth, you would be better off, at least from that standpoint. And yeah, you say nuclear energy, people go, but what about Chernobyl, man? What about the meltdown? It's just going to melt. And then you say, well, you know, the technology's improved. If you read about, you know, all the preventive measures they have now, and it's much more efficient than it used to be. Well, where are you going to store that crap, man? They put it inside mountains now, and those mountains are just going to turn green. They're going to start glowing, you know? And I'm like, okay, so I can't talk to you about nuclear energy. It's like, yeah, like you said, it becomes this brick wall. You hit the wall and you go, all right, next topic. I'm going to lose again, you know? And, but you're not losing. You just like, I can't get through.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mentality. Libertarian philosophy too, in and of itself, is very, it's nuanced. It's, but it is easy to understand. It is, it lines up. It's like non-aggression principle, anti-war. You know, we don't believe in blowing other countries up so we can have natural resources. We don't believe in doing it anyway. Cause you know, I tell people this on the old currency, it used to say, mind your own business. See, the founders were actually kind of in line with most libertarian stuff. But, you know, the right wants to take credit for them. And then the left used to on issues of free speech before they became anti-free speech. So I don't know what they don't like the founders. I know that at this point. So you got the right that kind of likes them and kind of quotes them here and there. Some of them get it right. Some of them don't. And you get the libertarians, I think, that are probably the closest. But we weren't there. So we can just interpret their words. And even if we were a little bit off, like, you know, the whole, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades thing, we'd be far better off if we were trying to get some of that back. And we are running full speed away from that. And we have been for decades. We just, it's like the hill, the grade of the hill, just you drive a truck. So the grade of the hill is like this right now. You know, it's bad.
Yeah. So while we wrap up here, because we're coming up on an hour, I just wanted to say, or I wanted to talk about this. We talked about Tulsi already, but I want to talk about Tulsi supporters because that's who your base is at your channel still, because you have, and that's where you picked them all up. And they're not happy with you deviating from the original message or whatever. It's funny, on Twitter, the number one demographic that I've blocked has actually been Tulsi supporters. You know, you'd think it would be neoliberals or neocons or Trump people, but they just don't bother me. Like, they don't come after me. They just ignore me. It's the Tulsi supporters. Like, whenever I was, and I've always been very nice to her. I've been critical of her where I disagree with her, but I'm not a Tulsicrat. I never was. I never like fully aligned with her. And so when she, you know, even when I was on her campaign, I disagreed with her on a good chunk of stuff. And then after the campaign, she went 100% in on the COVID stuff. And I was just like, no. And, you know, that was the beginning of the divorce. The Tulsi supporters started getting really mad at me. And now I just like to trigger them sometimes. You know, you know how I am on Twitter. I like to trigger people. But how do you envision that going with your channel? Are you hoping to get enough people over there? Are you hoping to change their minds? Do you think that's possible? Or are, you know, Tulsi supporters, for the most part, they don't strike me as philosophical. They believe in divine command theory, and Tulsi is the divine. So whatever Tulsi says is right, and they just always go with that. And it's like, guys, you gotta center yourself on something other than an individual. But I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's the cult of personality thing. When I did a couple of videos where I said Tulsi and Trump are a lot alike, and they were like, what do you mean by that? Trump's a bombastic jerk and Tulsi's a sweet, angelic person. I'm like, yeah, but they're both commanding this. They can do no wrong. Like, they say something and people go, oh, Tulsi agrees with this. Now, Tulsi, toward the end of her tenure in Congress, started to really jump on a lot of issues that right wingers really care about, right? The way she framed the language and stuff, and nothing I really disagreed with. I was just like kind of surprised, like, okay, you're going out with a bang, but you're going out. That's the problem. All right. If you had stayed there to throw those bombs and you remained a Democrat, that would have been some good political theater. Would have been interesting. I think she would have built some amazing political capital, Reid, but she would have lost her election in Hawaii. That's the sad part, because Hawaiians apparently like the neoliberal philosophy. Now, as far as my channel goes, it's tough because I don't do Tulsi content anymore, really. It's been quite a while. And I think the last video I did was her talking about banning flights from Brazil or something, you know, and I thought, really, Tulsi, you're going to ban flights from Brazil? I mean, it just got, and I didn't agree with her on the COVID stuff. Everybody who supported her, I think about 98% did, though. And it was a little bit tragic because you had all these independent thinkers, I thought, who were like examining left-right paradigm. They were really digging into issues. They weren't just it wasn't just the cult of personality, but then I find out that maybe it is the cult of personality. Maybe they'll say something like, imagine doing this all day long saying, you know, I really agree with Tulsi Gabbard only on like one thing, but man, she's just such an attractive candidate that I've got to vote for. And I'd be like, but you only agree on one thing? Yeah. Well, that's enough for me to vote for. Nope. Sorry. Can't go down that road with you. Can't do it. I tried to do it for a while. When she endorsed Joe Biden for president, I cut her. I was really angry. Then I cut her some slack. And then I figured, okay, it's political strategy. And a couple of times she's kind of weighed in on issues and gone against something that Biden said or whatever. And I said, good, it's about time. You should be doing that all the time. But that sweet syrupy endorsement was just, and Jimmy Dore, I remember he was like heartbroken. They were sitting there on the set of that show and they're just like dazed, like deer in a headlight, you know? And yeah. I'm thinking to myself, okay. And I was so angry. And look, my channel, I don't want to say this and not mean it because I'm very fickle, but I'm trying to be more libertarian oriented. I'm trying to support the liberty movement. I've even inquired about being part of the Mises Caucus here in Florida, which apparently in my county, Reed, there's not one person doing it. There, so I would be the leader by default, you know? And I think that's the direction I'm going. I'm losing about 10 or 20 subscribers a week. They just fall off magically, one or two each day. It's weird. It's weird to see it because I don't know if people are actually doing it or if somebody up higher is doing it. I think a lot of people, when they subscribe to channels, sometimes they forget they're subscribed to the channel. They don't watch it for a while. Like I'm subscribed to Tim Pool, and I might watch Tim like, I don't know, a couple times a month maybe, but right. I forget that I'm even subscribed to him. And that's probably the case with me. There are probably a lot of Tulsi supporters that need to clean out their cache and get rid of me, you know? So we'll see how it goes, but I'm staying the course. That channel isn't really about the money. It's just about me being a voice and being supportive and you know, calling it like I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Tulsi supporters should try to be more like Tulsi. Tulsi's very open-minded, very willing to talk to anyone. Tulsi supporters are very reactionary and extremely angry if you say anything questioning of their queen. But we're going to try to help you. We're going to try to get as many of my subscribers over to Dave's channel. So I have him linked in the description to, I think it's called Live Free or Die right now. Is that the name of the channel?
Live Free or Die. It's not going to change. It's both on YouTube with two strikes on there and over on Rockfin as well. So if it just vanishes, you'll know where to find me.
Yeah. So I've got his Twitter and his YouTube linked in the description. Go give him a hand. Let's try to build up all these liberty-minded channels that we can. Before they get rid of us, which they obviously will, but thanks well, for coming.
I appreciate you having me, and hey, congratulations on the growth of this channel, man. You've been doing some great stuff, great interviews, and you deserve it because you work hard at this.
I do want to say that I attribute a lot of that to people being willing to give me a platform, which you were one of the first guys, Dave, actually, over a year ago now.
Well, when you write the book, just, you know, give me a little blurb.
But it's true. You guys can go. It was in May or April or something of 2020.
Yeah, I didn't know you from Adam, man. I was like, who's this guy at Coverdale, man? And then I learned that you're on the inside of Tulsi's campaign. I was like, whoa, this is cool. You know, and then you come out as this liberty freak later. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I didn't know if I wanted to follow you in that direction. I kept going back and forth. I'm very like, I'm stubborn. I'm one of those people that is a contrarian. Like, if everyone's going in this direction, I'll purposely just avoid it and go the other direction. And sometimes it's stupid reasoning for it. But now, you know, I see, like, that's why I did this video today. Like, everybody's got to kind of come home to their political home. There is a home. The Libertarian Party, I would say the Mises Caucus is better than the LP National folks, as we all know. But if you read their stuff and digest some of those great videos, I'm a big Tom Woods fan. Go watch some Tom Woods. Cleanse the palate. Get it out of your system, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, Dave. We'll have you back again. And hope your channel continue. Hope you get your channel going in the other direction. Hopefully, we get enough libertarians over there to get you trending upwards again. So
that would be enough. If it was just an increase of one next week instead of a loss of 10, I'd be like, hey, it worked, Reed. It worked. And then, you know, I'll send you a check.
All right, perfect. Go follow,
man. All right.